can't make this up. Pelosi's on national TV bragging that she had Biden removed. We have a governor, Democrat governor, calling for the rape of J.D. Vance. We're doing the deep dive on the Globalist Council, part two, but even deeper with two special guests coming up. But let's jam in a few more of these calls. Joe in Ohio, post-election Trump, what's next? Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Alex. I'm looking back to George Bush when he was in office. He's on the right. After him comes in Bill Clinton. He's on the left. Then George Bush again. He's on the right. Then Obama. Then Trump. Then Biden. So my question is, if Trump gets in with all the propaganda, the impeachments, and the lawsuits, I have a fear that by the time he's done, even though it'll be better for us, America's going to hate him so bad that they're going to be able to bring in someone who is way worse than Biden and Harris. What do you think about that?
Justice be done. May the heavens fall. Trump was super popular when he first got elected. They did all the COVID stuff. He still won the election. They stole it. He's more popular than ever. I think people are wise to all their games and all their scams.
Okay. Well, another thing is the Republicans, they call stuff out, been doing it since 2016 on TV, radio, in Congress. But I never see any changes. So sometimes I feel like either Republicans don't have the power to change or they're in on it. Am I wrong?
Definitely a large part of the Republican leadership's in on it. That's why they don't want Trump, because he's trying to change that. But clearly, I think it's overwhelmingly better to have Trump, and it's not going to be a bed of roses. If Biden and them or Kamala's able to steal it, they're going to try to cement things with a total totalitarian takeover.
Yeah, I agree, absolutely. When I look at the Bible and Revelation, you know, I look at the mark of the beast, and I think controlling food, buying and selling, to me, that's digital currency. But if you read a little bit past that, it talks about the kings of the earth and the merchants. And they're the ones in control, and that's actually starting to happen right now.
And it says they traffic in the souls of men. Great points. Thanks for the call. Last caller, Michael in Boston. Thanks for holding her on the air worldwide.
Hey, Alex, how you doing?
I'm all right, brother.
You were good last night. I stayed up till the very end, like 12:30. You had me rolling the way you were taking these scumbags apart at the DNC, man.
I was trying, brother. Thanks for putting up with me.
It was well worth it. But listen, I wanted to talk about Ukraine real quick. You know, we've spoken before. You know, I'm a full-blooded Ukrainian-American. And what I, what this country's done to my motherland, I'll never forgive them for. You know what I'm saying? That right now, the Ukrainian people are living under a dictatorship for all intents and purposes.
Tell people about it.
Well, I mean, look at they. When I saw what happened back when Zelensky got in, I was naive. I was younger. I said, oh, look, the Ukrainian people have had it enough with regular politicians. They elected a comedian, not knowing myself that he was a puppet of the U.S. and the globalists. And now what they've done to Ukraine, this latest thing you touched on about the churches, which you really haven't even got to yet, everything they've done, from suspending elections, and they're living under a dictatorship. And here's the thing. I don't ever see – I've been thinking big picture. I don't see how Russia ever leaves Ukraine. I don't see them giving up their ancestral homeland that they were born out of to the decadent West. It's not going to happen. You know what I mean?
And that's why NATO says it's going to be a 20- or 30-year war. And that's why Russia is saying it's a culture war. And Russia is far from perfect. But they're rejecting, and so is communist China of all places, this whole satanic, pedophile, transgender thing that wants to make us all totally dependent, Michael.
Everything. Well, Wes, like I told you once, it was either you or Chase. I said, oh, people think that they're under the impression, oh, you know, back in the USSR, right? Elvis and blue jeans and rock and roll. Yeah, along with it comes decadence, homelessness, drug addiction, pornography. That's what the West is going to bring in. You'll see homeless on the streets of Kiev, like San Francisco. But anyway, here's the thing, right? Think about it. If Russia was to ever leave, let's say we saw the news, oh, look, the last Russian troop has just left Ukraine. What we're going to do the next day or that day is roll in, you know, how many deep? And
listen, I hear you. That's why this is a major long-term conflict. Look, the globalists run Ukraine. Everything they're doing in Ukraine, outlawing the Orthodox Church, they want to do that here. Why do we sit there and act like these people are so important? And still the old politicians, especially the Republicans, they still put stock in what the media says, the corporate media. You want to be attacked by CNN. You want to be attacked by ABC News. It just shows that they've done everything they can to destroy me and demonize me and say I'm all these horrible things that I'm not. And it hasn't worked. Yeah, I lied about WMDs in Iraq and tripled the sanctions and starved 2.5 million people to death, 1 million kids. Yeah, I opened the borders up. I shipped the fentanyl in. I run the giant rape gangs. I'm starting World War III with Russia. I'm cutting children's penises off. Oh, no, that's openly, publicly, the government and the system. No, I'm not doing any of that. And I sure as hell ain't perfect. At the end of the day, I love God and I love justice. And just because you guys twist a bunch of crap and make a bunch of stuff about Elon Musk or Donald Trump or Alex Jones, the dog ain't hunting.
The front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
All right, we did the first part of a deep dive a week and a half ago with our special guest that came highly recommended by Roger Stone and the Trump campaign. I'd seen some of his work, but I read his report. It was just excellent. It dovetailed with my research and many other people's research, but it really did one of the best jobs of condensing it down. I mean, it's still lengthy, but you have to study it in different pieces and put it together. They've kind of put it all in one place. So I wanted to get him back on. We'll probably take a little bit of time if they have time into the next hour. Fourth hour guest host, understand sometimes I commandeer some time, but I want to at least go 20 minutes the next hour if our guest can do it. When he came on a little over a week ago, and we're having the guest back on, we had millions of extra views here on the show and millions of views on X. And some of the clips got over 10 million views. And if you want to see part one, it's on X and also at band.video. Breaking, naval officer publishes powerful dossier exposing the leaders of the deep state. Meet the council running America, Greg Stenstrom. I'm not going to go over his whole background, but he holds a BS from U.S. Naval Academy, Annapolis, Maryland. He's a surface warfare officer and U.S. Navy diver and served in commanding and executive officer roles in special warfare, special operations, Patriot Dawn Online. And then now joining us is his colleague, Colonel Timothy Schindler. He's a U.S. MC, retired, and I'm not going to go through his whole background, but also U.S. Naval Academy, master's degree from Georgetown University, National Defense University, National War College. He holds a doctorate from the University of Southern California as a senior executive fellow at Harvard Kennedy School's U.S. military service, includes multiple tours in the Persian Gulf, Kosovo, Iraq, Afghanistan, and the Pentagon. So I'm going to really try to give these guys the floor as much as I can, because this is important to get to Congress and everybody else. These guys know what they're talking about, and I'm really glad that Roger Stone got them on the broadcast. And then I want to tie it into, this is a real communist takeover, and they're telegraphing publicly. So many clips, I can't even play them all. We played seven clips in the first hour of Democrat leaders saying we're going to have civil war, martial law, and arrest our enemies. Then they get up on TV last night at the DNC and say Trump's going to do that. So these people are going for broke because they know America has woken up and they're in a lot of trouble. You see totalitarianism in Europe, the UK, it's everywhere because there is a global populist awakening, and they've banned the Ronald Reagan movie from advertising or being on Facebook. I mean, even Ronald Reagan's banned now, folks. And Facebook, so it's political. Well, what? Everything's political. So this is serious. If we don't admit how much trouble we're in, we're doomed. If we admit what we're facing, they're not going to win. They have to go for broke. They have to go totalitarian. They have to go violent because we're winning the hearts and minds peacefully on the trajectory we're on. That's why I said they've got to try to kill Trump the week before they tried to kill him. And I'm telling you, they're going to try again. So, gentlemen, I'm going to let Greg introduce this, and then he can bring in his colleague here, and I'm going to kind of let you guys host. I'll still be popping in some for the balance of the hour. Then I'll have some questions if you have the time going into the a little bit into the second hour. So go ahead, Greg, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, Alex. I was very humbled by the response of the last show and the millions of people who responded. I read some of their comments, and particularly I read a lot of the pundits' comments, the negative comments I read as well. And what they do typically, the pundits of not only Alex Jones and Roger and Tucker, pick someone, Levin, Bongino, Bannon, what they typically do is they call us all conspiracy theorists. And a conspiracy cannot survive in the presence of facts. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring Colonel Schindler here, my friend and classmate from the academy, was he is a complete command of the facts, and I thought he would be best to present those to us together. But as a recap for the council, just to show the audience, I don't know if the control room's listening. I think we have a couple of pitches. What I'd like to do is what our primary strategy is to expose and name the people, you know, show their photographs, name their names, and describe exactly what they're doing to the United States. So this council right there that we identified last week, I want to have Tim go into it more, but we named these people led by Inspector General Horowitz. I'm not going to go through the whole list again. And then if you could put up the second screen with the, I call it the emeritus and the ongoing, they're actually emeritus and ongoing. You'll see William Barr there and all the usual, the villains there. So we felt very strongly, or I felt very strongly, but by exposing these particular people as the control group that run the United States, or actually run the United States, I thought that would be a good start. And today's show is specifically to discuss the facts. And with that, I'd like to introduce Colonel Schindler, who's my friend. He is the person who put together this intellectual capital. I've had the benefit of his tutelage and his knowledge over the last year and a half going through these things. So I think it's better for him to discuss it. And I'd like him to start, Tim, if you don't mind, start talking about the council as a codified group. One of the things that the people didn't understand was that this isn't a fictitious name, but it's a codified legislative act that created them. And Tim, I give the floor to you, and I appreciate you being here today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Greg. And thank you, Alex. I think it's really important now that we're talking about this is to understand that there is no mystery. It's not a surprise. It's not secret. It's done in plain sight, HPS. And one of the tools that we always use when we try to make transformational change is we do it right. We tell you what we're going to do, and then we do it, and then we reaffirm what we've done. And it's a standard practice, and we're trying to elicit a particular kind of behavior. And behavior is simply a response to a stimulus or a situation. So we want to predict how you're going to behave, and we want to give you new norms, acceptable guidelines on your behavior. And this is the predicate, if you will, of social science. What is important is that everybody understands that in 1978, it was a watershed where we moved into the formal implementation of progressive social reconstruction. It's a real thing. They study it. You go to Columbia University, you go to any one of the A1 schools, and all of the schools, they teach this. This is not unusual. It's not unknown. And now that people are actually seeing the effects of progressive social reconstruction, they now understand that somebody actually sat down and designed a plan. They implemented a plan. They told you they were going to do it. They did it. And they're counting on everybody not understanding what they've seen.
And you're exposing the legislative empowerment and the architecture of the actual skeleton and brain of the deep state.
Absolutely. So when people talked about the deep state, it was an interesting term because people who really understand progressive social reconstruction, agency capture, nodal analysis, these things, they thought it was kind of funny, actually. They were like, the deep state. And they didn't want to say, you mean the embedded command and control system and the imposition of a new bureaucrat class. And they didn't want to talk about that. And they're like, well, how on earth do you think you're going to make 2.1 million federal workers do what you want them to do while you conduct a wealth extraction program? Well, everybody knows that you can't run 2.1 million people without an integrated command and control system. And you probably want to be able to pick who will and will not be investigated. Now, this is the big picture. The policy of the United States government is transparency and accountability. That's the policy of our government, to be transparent and to be accountable. Well, the programs and operations that do that, one of them is the Freedom of Information Act, which is obviously and routinely subverted by the very public servants whose job it is to make sure that it isn't subverted. And when you subvert that program, the Freedom of Information Act, you are going after the policy of the U.S. government of transparency. Now, when we talk accountability, accountability is done through investigation, both criminal and administrative. So if I subvert criminal and administrative investigation, I can attack the other pillar of the U.S. government, which is accountability. So once I've attacked the two, transparency in our government and accountability in our government, I can literally change the policy of the government by targeting the group of people whose job it is to protect the American people. And those are your federal public servants. So if I can force the public servants to renege on their constitutional demands for integrity and honesty, I can compel their behavior why I have free rein to do a wealth extraction program. And if they go to complain to somebody, they go to the inspector general. And the inspector general chooses who will and will not be investigated, what will and will not be investigated. A classic and perfect example of that is when you saw the FBI director in front of an oversight committee. Normally, his response will be, oh, I can't comment on ongoing investigations. I can't comment on the sources and methods that are applied while we conduct an investigation. I really can't go into the methodologies, the tactics and techniques that were utilized to either substantiate or non-substantiate the allegations of wrongdoing that we investigated. Yet, while former President Trump was standing there and he was almost killed, the FBI director was positing, well, gee whiz, you know, it could have been a bee, or it could have been a piece of wood, or it could have been a piece of glass, or, you know, we don't really know this. Yet no one in Congress said, wait a minute, are you commenting on an ongoing investigation, or are you just positing this for no reason? What are you doing? Because you are the only political appointee in the entire FBI. Notice I said political appointee. That means everybody else in the Department of the FBI is a career public servant. That's important. So the career public servants, they're not the ones that are doing this. They're the ones that are being told, if you don't do what I say, you'll be fired. And we saw that with four very brave FBI whistleblowers who went forth, they went to Congress, they sat before the oversight committees, and where are they right now? Do they have their jobs back? No. Do they have their back pay? No. Have they been taken care of because they tried to protect the American public?
And now, No. And now, Colonel, they have litmus tests that if you don't put the nuclear spent stockpile under a crazy, ball-headed, tranny lunatic that steals luggage, well, you're fired because you don't support him or Admiral Levine and these other lunatics. Those are litmus tests so you can identify who in the structure of government will salute this flag of insanity. And now, another case, and I'll shut up, you have the Democrats proposing in Congress not just packing the Supreme Court, a classic communist tactic, but also having a new inspector general over the Supreme Court. So that's making the council now over the judiciary.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And there's no mystery. It's not something that's out of Pluto or whatever. Yes, this is solid planning. The original efforts to do the legislative action to put an inspector general into the Supreme Court, when they say that, we're going to create an inspector general for the judiciary. That means there will be one at the Supreme Court, there will be one at all 13 of the appellate courts, and there will be one at all 94 district courts. And they'll all fall under one leader. And he, in turn, will walk down the street and he will meet with the inspector general of the Intelligence Committee. And they'll get each other, then they'll go, and then they'll go sit down with Michael Horowitz and whomever they have elected and put into the Council of the Inspectors General on Integrity and Efficiency, where they will decide what will and will not be done. It's well executed. And I would argue that people should see it. Right now, the United States Senate is sitting on the legislation, and they've been working at it for almost 20 years, slowly. And this is something that people need to understand. When we talk about progressive social reconstruction, people have to understand what it is. It's called the long march through the institutions. That's what it is. I slowly, like an anaconda, and people don't understand the anaconda. The anaconda is a 21-foot pinnacle predator. It gets to be 21 feet long, and it crawls on the ground. Doesn't fly, doesn't run. It just crawls on the ground. Yet, when it constricts around its enemy, it consumes it completely. And that is exactly what the strategy of the long march through the institutions is. And if you have any questions about the long march through the institutions, you simply have to study when we went from the old left to the new left. That's why people who think about DEI, they're like, gee, I don't know what this is, you know, all that. Like, what do you mean? DEI is the same thing that it's always been. When we talk about diversity, what we're talking about is the implementation of political officers, social political officers. That's what diversity is.
You're talking about commissars. Commissars. This is all classic communism. What's the name of the ICBMs? The Chinese have the Long March. So this is all.
Yes.
Just a quick aside from your research, is the U.S. globalist communist combine run by China, or has it just been previously allied with it? Because it more and more, it looks like a communist Chinese signature of these different flavors.
I think this probably isn't real popular, and I'm only speaking from an academic perspective only. What we're really seeing is not communism in the form of what is communism any more than we're seeing capitalism. We're seeing something that's called Capcom. This is the imposition of the blending, basically, of your political business class on a global scale. That's really what you're looking at.
Colonel, you're 100% right. Obama, before he left office, gave speeches all over the world saying we're merging capitalism with communism.
Yes, and Capcom is what it's called. Now, it's interesting because when you talk about Capcom, and I got to tell you, Roger, I admire you. I really do. I'm sorry, Alex. I admire you because you've been right the whole time. It's almost funny because you've been beating your head against the wall, but you have been correct. And now people are looking back and they're saying, whoa, there was a plan. And the guy has been telling us about the plan. And no one loves a prophet in the hometown, right, Alex? Nobody likes the prophet in the hometown when he's telling people they got to start doing something. Drop the popcorn bag, understand the problem set, and decide what you're going to do.
Well, Colonel, I mean, I'm good at the general stuff, but you actually reminded me of all the technical. So get back in to what this thing really is, its name, and then continue.
Okay, when we talk Capcom, what we're talking about is the true blending. The reason we went from the old left to the new left was this. They recognized in America, the American Marxist understood that China and many other repressive countries were actually starting, to use capitalism. And they said, holy cow, you know, this whole thing was supposed to be about class struggle. It was supposed to be about unionization. It was supposed to be about, you know, the Marxist imposition. Well, if they're becoming capitalists, it's a complete failure, which it was. And so they said, we have to look at something different. So they said, we need to find things that people can galvanize around. And they said, well, what can't change? Because people were actually able to escape class struggle. They were poor and they became rich. They were middle class and they were able to get a good education and provide for their families. And it wasn't working. So when they started the new left, they said, we need to find things that people can't change. You know, like your color, your race, your religion. And with those, they could hammer those all day long. And they could still cause the friction necessary to develop the groups that they could pit against each other. And that's essentially what we've seen. Now that people are starting to understand that there really is a methodology behind this, it kind of removes all the mystery. As Greg said, when you look at what is a conspiracy, you pull the facts. And once you have facts, those are indisputable things, facts. Conspiracies can't exist. So when somebody says it happened last night, you know, and somebody walks up and goes, No, it didn't. It happened last week. Look here. It dissipates it. It's like fog. It's wind. And that's the whole point of creating conspiracies. Conspiracies are designed to make people afraid. Because when people are afraid, they won't take action. And fear is simply lack of knowledge. So if I can convince people to be afraid, they won't do anything. And what's interesting is if you think about this from the military or the social perspective, this is the most dangerous time for somebody to run an asymmetric attack against a capitalist system because they have no choice now. They must push because if they don't, they're going to lose 100 years of planning. Since 1978, all of the efforts that were done under progressive social reconstruction, that is putting in a new class of commissars in every bureau, in every commission, in every section, all of that will be for naught. But the answer is clear. The United States Congress created it. Well, it wasn't constitutional to begin with because there's no such thing as an administrative entity that somehow has control over other branches of government. But they didn't see it. Well, we know the Supreme Court has now taken a position because they looked at this Chevron doctrine and they said, wait a minute, the administrative state can't make up any rule they want. They can't just do what they like. So when they clip their wings, the Supreme Court will now turn around and look at this and say, wait a minute, do I really want an independent entity that is sui generis, meaning unto itself, as a council that answers to no one, that determines who will and will not be investigated? You just need to step back from 1978 forward, and it's so clear. Right now, today, when people lose their security clearances or they're administratively withdrawn for whatever reason, you'll never guess at who oversights all that. Well, the inspectors general. You'll never guess at who actually oversights investigations that are done by other IGs. Well, the inspectors general, you'll never believe who's actually in the council, the FBI, the CIA, government ethics. Everyone is tied into the council and is statutorily defined. 5A USC Section 11, creation, there shall be a council. It shall be called the council. No one gets to be in the council unless they are authorized. People who become inspectors general or members of the new class have to be recommended by the chair of the SIGI, the Council of the Inspectors General on Integrity and Efficiency. So the bottom line is this. Once you've removed the Council of the Inspectors General on Integrity and Efficiency, we now have inspectors general as they were designed to work directly for the agency heads, the bureau heads, and the commission heads. They have no purpose other than making sure with effectiveness and efficiency, the programs and the operations are being carried out.
All right, Governor, Colonel Schindler, I was actually reading an article here where there's governors calling for J.D. Vance to be raped. I've got some clips coming up, but Colonel, stay right there. And also, Greg, stay right there. I want to come back and drill into this because this is all public. This is a fact. It's a permanent bureaucracy that, like royalty, hands down its power. In many cases, hereditarily, all these people's kids and grandkids are actually now. I want to tell you the story, the history of InfoWars MD, one of our biggest and most important lines of high-quality supplements, because it's a story of political attacks and not giving up, and it's an amazing product line that funds our operation. Going back about 3 years ago, during all the deplatforming of InfoWars, not just off the internet, not just with banking, some of the big supplement manufacturers that we were using, some of the best in the country, had been bought up during the pandemic, during the shutdown, and then they would notify us. We had five companies making product for us. Three of them notified us that we're no longer going to work with you because you're Alex Jones and you're InfoWars. So we made a lot of phone calls, reached out to our contacts, and we found one of the biggest supplement makers in the country. I'm not going to say their names. They get harassed, but they're big listeners. And they said, listen, you know we were supplying a lot of the raw materials to several of your manufacturers that are no longer doing business with you. And we would love to put out a private label where we just put your label on our product. And then when people order from you, it drop ships out of our warehouses. And so we added a bunch of their products to our lineup. And I didn't ever really promote them a lot because we were, you know, selling our products and a lot of the products that we developed. But so many of these products that they had put out, again, were the exact same thing that we were putting out. In fact, in some cases, like in the case of Nitric Boost, it's the exact same formula that we private labeled from them before we were even doing InfoWars MD with them. So case in point right now, our version of Nitric Boost, it's so good for your heart and body and cardiovascular system, cleans out your blood. Dr. Minkowitz has talked about being one of the best formulas out there. Our version of it sold out about 3 weeks ago. Well, their version is just a white bottle from their warehouse, and it's the exact same pill, the exact same people, does the exact same thing, and it's the exact same price. So that's what InfoWars MD is. Take Turmeric 95. Turmeric 95 is called that because it's the strongest curcuminoid concentrate, 95% that they can make. And it turns out that's the company years ago, and I wanted to put out the strongest turmeric available that was actually producing it. So, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, sold out at InfoWarsStore.com, but not their Turmeric 95, which is the same 95% curcuminoid and the same ingredients that boost it. So that's why InfoWars MD is such an amazing line. And because of the bankruptcy, attempts to shut us down, and the bad CRO we had here before, who would not reorder product, we would not have any new product to sell to stay on air if we hadn't set this up with InfoWars MD. Now, they've got over 100 products, and as we speak, we're making labels for the rest of their line. But 17 of their products that are their best sellers, the top of their catalog, we do have at InfoWarsStore.com from InfoWars MD. So, I've told you some of the history, what's behind it. It's amazing. It's super high quality. Here's just a few of the things that are available. Nitric Boost, Good Night's Sleep, Joint Relief Max is amazing, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Probiotic Formula, CBD Full Spectrum, 25 milligram gummies, CBD Full Spectrum, 10 milligram gummies, works great, Turmeric 95, Libido RX, Better Mood, Mushroom Max for mental clarity and your immune system, Superfood Greens, Ageless Vitality Collagen, and a lot more. So if you want to keep InfoWars on the air, at the same time get amazing products, please visit InfoWarsStore.com today and check out the InfoWars MD line of products. There's a bunch of others I didn't mention. We're adding more every few days. So please take action and go to InfoWarsStore.com and secure your InfoWars MD today.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. From Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
It's a reliable source of information. 50,000 unstoppable watts.
All right, we are back live. I know we're reaching millions of people right now. And I know a lot of our listeners are very well informed and study all this. You know about a lot of it, or maybe more than I know. But the point is, we have millions of new people that tuned through the show only occasionally, and they hear it, and I want them to understand something. The most common question I get is, who are they? And then I made films and documentaries and explained how British intelligence worked and how it set up the Council on Foreign Relations as a model of government control between corporations and government, and then they tend to set up kind of politburos or unelected bureaucratic systems that can't be removed. And there's different versions of this. Like in Iran, it's the mullahs who are related to Muhammad, and they have a president, and they have elections, but they can be vetoed by the Shiite council run by the Ayatollah. So this is really just another form of a permanent ruling class set up in the 1970s to really finish what the CIA set up in 1947 with the National Security Act of creating an above-the-law shadow government in the name of protecting us. But of course, as history shows, what is set up to protect you over time generally takes you over. Look at the third world. It's usually the security services or the military that takes over. But that's a quick process. You can see it. It's illegitimate. It tends to create a system where it's being overthrown every few years, sometimes more. Look at Brazil's history. This is a bureaucracy where you have these inspector generals created by Congress, law unto their own, that then direct the Justice Department, who now want to gobble up the judiciary. And that's just one part of this. And you've got to be the Supreme Court saying Congress has created something that's now its own fourth branch of government that's above the law that is now going to oversee us. They should completely clip the wings and not just not let them set up an inspector general over the courts, because that's unconstitutional, but they should go in and find it unconstitutional to begin with, which they did 2 years ago in some of their big rulings, saying you can't have the EPA banning coal power plants and banning gas drilling and all the rest of this outside of law. So we see this throughout all the bureaucracy, but at the top of the pyramid are these inspector generals, and that's why the council, who's running the United States, is so important. I already tweeted this last week. I'm going to repost it on X right now while they're talking. I'm going to send it out. We're live right now. They'll go some into the next hour with us. We'll cut this up in clips, post it on X. But every governor, every attorney general, Ken Paxton, they all need to see this because they all know it, but they need to focus on it and make a big deal about it. And then internationally, you have the funding of it, BlackRock, with 80%+ of world assets. So that's how this corporate merger with communism is operating and working. And it's not communism for the elites. They're tax exempt and billionaires. But for us, it's a system where there's no upper mobility, and they're trying to sew it up and complete it right now. And that's why this is really the Death Star plans. And so we have to understand, if you ask who they are, when the rubber meets the road of the administrative command and control system, that's who is actually in command. That's why you see such arrogance from the different members of the council. And again, at the heart of it's the inspector generals. There's other pieces to that or spokes that go out in the wheel. And I mentioned it going to break. You have the governor of Kentucky saying we need to rape J.D. Vance. I have video of this. You have Pelosi saying I did what I had to do, removing Biden. They're normalizing dictatorial political violence. They're normalizing just removing presidents. They are really in the phase of just conditioning us for a lot more horrible things. And I know I talked to, or my producer, talked to Greg before he came on. You guys also want to get into the fact of all this talk about civil war, about arresting the political opposition in this phase they're going into, that you could say was confidence and consolidation, but I think it's more they're getting desperate because the people are getting educated and the learning curve is accelerating. But Colonel Timothy Schindler, military service included tours in the Persian Gulf, Kosovo, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and the Pentagon, and you are a learned expert on this, so we really are getting a lot from you. Please continue where we just left off.
I think the term that you're looking for, if it was from an academic perspective, is called the American nomenclatura, the nomenclatura. And the nomenclatura is the special new class bureaucrats. They stay. They are permanently, they have lifetime appointments, no judicial oversight. And they determine one administration comes in, they may like them, they may not. Another administration comes in, they may like them, they may not. But they determine what will be investigated, what won't be investigated, what will be audited, what won't be audited. And they have the ability to go after. The three things that are on the table right now that are very problematic, one would be the complete capture of the judicial branch of government. The second would be to give them subpoena power so that they could actually go out and subpoena both people as well as products and documents. Now, they already have law enforcement authority, and in the triangle, it's important for people to understand, as Greg said, conspiracies cannot exist in the presence of facts. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to have people not look at the facts. Well, here's a couple of facts that's very important. In 1963, Marcus Raskin established the Institute for Policy Studies here in Washington, D.C., and its whole purpose was to cultivate the legislative branch of government via the progressive social reconstruction strategy of the Long March through the institutions. Well, if you were an American Marxist, we call this the cockroach theory. That's what it means. You infestate and you procreate within all of the agencies. That's every single bureau, commission, board. And you now have the authority to determine the winners and the losers, what will happen, what will not happen. And this is very important because it actually happened. And in 1977, Marcus Raskin, who started the Institute of Policy Studies, wrote the federal budget and Reconstruction. And he gave it to 58 of the Democratic members of the Congress at the time so that they could implement the long-term pieces for progressive social reconstruction as part of the long march through the institutions. There is no mystery here. It's not a mistake. It's not an accident. Just like if somebody were to say to you right now, Alex, did you know that there are four Americans that are buried in the necropolis wall in Moscow? The American Marxists, four Americans are buried there. As a matter of fact, not only were they buried there, William Z. Foster, the American Lenin, they had a parade. The parade was led by the Soviet director of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev, he said that there could be no higher honor for the American Lenin. And this happened right after they started the New Left. So when they came and they published the Port Huron Statement, it was a very profound movement because it was a shift from the old left to the new left. And what it really meant was this. They talked to all these students and they told them when they met at Port Huron, New York, they said, you're going to come up with a new manifesto. And I got a clue for you guys. Drop your guns, quit trying to blow up stuff, and you need to become a part of the system. Infestate and procreate. And they said, oh, you mean you want us to drop our guns and pick up highlighters? Yes. We wish for you to become all of the professors, and we wish for you to be distributed through every single major university in the country. Yes. And we want you to teach the young kids that are coming through how you want them. We want to dip them. And when we dip them in, they will begin to believe this theory. Now, this is important. This was a political, social, economic theory that goes back all the way to 1848. And in this theory that was written by Karl Marx, quite frankly, it doesn't work. And it's not a question of it might work. It clearly doesn't, because some of the basic underpinnings have failed.
But it works. But it works for the big powerful banks that, with all the serfs being freed, that wanted a way to trick the general public back into slavery. It yes. certainly works for groups that already had global control that could use this as a way to take down a country and set up a new slave class under the name of the people.
Absolutely. But then if you think about it like that, Alex, that's the same thing they've been saying since 1848. So basically, and this is one of the things that when people really study Marxism, this is a mistake that a lot of people make. They talk about the proletariat and the bourgeoisie, right? And they talk about and they call it the rich and the working class, but that's not exactly true. There was an aristocracy class that they never mentioned, because you could be a business owner and you could have the means of production and you could have labor, right? Which would have been the workers, but you had to have capital. And where would you be getting that capital? From the aristocracy, of course. And they sort of just sort of blended right over that and said, you know, rich, poor, worker, non-worker, capitalist, blah, blah, blah. And it worked because the aristocracy stayed exactly where it always was. They were the leading and ruling class. And they simply had business people below them and workers. And that's exactly what they're doing now on a global scale. That's why there's such contempt for people, because people are seen simply as tools of labor. And there's, quite frankly, a lot of people, especially in the aristocracy, are saying, well, with computers coming in, we might not even need a lot of that labor.
And that's why the communist terms are everywhere, Colonel. We're called human resources.
Yes. And Alex, yes. And that's why all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you had an HR expert, and people were like, what exactly is a HR? Human resources. You mean sort of like plumbing parts? Yes. Sort of like You know, and then all of a sudden, people started thinking, this has got to be complicated. So one of the things that Greg very astutely said to me was, we got to explain this stuff to people. And I was like, oh, you mean the old PhD for the PFC? You know, what good is going to school and studying and doing all that stuff if you can't relate it to people? Well, two things that we know. One, this is a very risky endeavor for these people, because as they transition into conventional operations, there's a high, high degree of certainty that if they don't run effective pacification operations on the people will simply resist. And they will start saying things like this, Alex, I sent a letter to my elected leader, the man who gets a federal paycheck, and he is a public servant, meaning he's protecting the public's good. That means all of our tax money, all of our treasure. And he just doesn't respond. What can we do? And I was like, well, what do you mean? You mean to tell me that an elected or a key bureaucrat is refusing to answer? Well, we can't do anything. Really? Well, that's not exactly right, is it? Because we know that if you do not provide honest services, and in the process of not providing honest services, it's a coordinated effort to subvert government process, like investigations or audits or...
And Colonel, let me give people briefly some hope here, and then bring in our other guests just briefly, because I want to get this take. This is all we have to have, you know, back again, maybe for 2 hours commercial free, because there's so much to cover. Look at how DEI, with just lawsuits, a few hundred getting filed around the country, is already shutting it down. It's already being abandoned by the big corporations. Government universities are still pushing it, but it's slowing. Wherever they get resistance, they fail. But when the Anaconda can slither around you while you're asleep, then it can crush you. And so, sure, yes, it basically has one ring around us, but that's not enough to crush us. If it can wrap around two more times, it's got us. We have to recognize the snakes around our belly. We got to get it off of us. Right now, it politically starts stabbing it nonviolently and understand that they're doing this. Here's a microcosm. Remember when they sent the FBI out and turned out it was a memo from the White House? They claimed it was organic. To send the FBI to threaten school boards in Virginia and Maryland and other states, saying you better not come protest all this race brainwashing and DEI and critical race theory and transgenderism. That's because they're so scared. If we simply take over the ground level, running for office, getting on the boards, doing it, and educating people, what we're saying is popular. There's an awakening. We will shut them down at the local level. And if we show courage, there'll be more attorney generals and others to step up. And the Supreme Court they're trying to intimidate will step up, and we can stop this coup that they're very close to completing. And as you just said, we're at the moment of truth where they've been hiding this behind the walls. Now the cockroaches are all coming out. We're at the moment of emergence. How would you describe, Colonel, the moment we're at in history right now?
This is the moment where Americans, probably for the first time in their lives, are going to have to stand up and just say no. No. If you are a federal official, it is against the law. It's a criminal offense to not perform your duties. It's not an administrative. It is a criminal offense. And if you work together to subvert government policy, and the policy of the government, right, is transparency and accountability, and you've collaborated together to do that, oh, my goodness, that's 18 U.S.C. 1505.
And look at how they all get caught using secret emails. That's a felony right there.
Yes. But I think that, see, for me, this is like a celebration. This is Americans looking around and going, hey, it's time for us to jump up and fix it. And the beauty of this, in my mind, is our job is to give people confidence. Our job is to look and grab our neighbors, look around and say, we're going to keep what's ours. If you want to be a government official and you want to take the public's treasure and you think you're not going to perform your duty, well, I think the Supreme Court is not agreeing. That's what the whole Chevron defense, that's why they clip their wings. And when they terminate and force Congress to eliminate Section 11 of the IG Enhancement Act and say, no, there will be no sui generis special cabal established in the executive branch that controls everyone. Once it's gone, America will begin the whole part and the most important piece for us, and that is celebrate our diversity, celebrate the fact that we're all different, but one thing we are, we're all Americans.
That's right. Colonel, isn't the border another area to look at where it's total dereliction of duty? And in fact, they're facilitating the smuggling of men, women, and children?
Absolutely. It's an 18 U.S.C. 1505 violation. Absolutely. It's a criminal offense. And it's and this crime is against America. And people need to understand that. 18 U.S.C. 1346. 1346 is a scheme to defraud the people of their right, their intangible right to honest services. It's a criminal offense. Now, the fact that you have the DOJ completely compromised, the fact that the public integrity section. Now, what we really need to do is what we're doing right now. Now, remember, when we look at this holistically, we have to think about it in a bigger picture. First, you have to understand the root cause of the problem. Well, we do. Progressive social reconstruction, the long march through the institutions, and the fact that they've done infestation and procreation, and they are ideologically polarized, and it's inconsistent with the American form of government. Once we've done that, the rest is going to be, it's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. So the next thing we have to do, we eliminate the SIGI. We don't have an unelected cabal of individuals who can decide who what will. What's important is, and what they don't understand is, in 2016 and 2017, we began working on this. And we understood exactly what we were saying. And we also understood that we would have to build evidentiary base. That's witness statements and documentation necessary to substantiate allegations of wrongdoing that would be specifically leveled against key agency officials and the members of the SIGI. Now, when the American public has an opportunity to take a look at the documents and see what has happened, they will now understand why the wealth extraction system in America is running unfettered. Because every single public servant that has done their duty, and this is something the American public does not understand. The civil service, those people who have dedicated their lives to protect the Americans, their public good, these people are the targets because they're the ones that are bringing forward all of this information and they're delivering it to the inspectors general. And the inspectors general are simply firing them. And we know there's a major problem because they go to Congress, which they have. We have hundreds, thousands, actually. And when they all get their day in court and they're able to say, we as a class of U.S. citizens have been subjected to intimidation and coercion, organized to subvert the policy of the United States government, which is transparency and accountability, people are going to understand what that actually means because it has a definition.
It's absolutely. Colonel, stay right there. We're about to start the next hour. This has gone too quickly, but I'm going to post this on X. I got busy and didn't. I'm going to post it on Real Alex Jones during the break, the council, who's running the United States. You guys both have great websites, or I've seen several of them. Where's the best place for everybody listening to go to get this document, to read it, and share it?
The best place to go is the intelligencer.today and do a quick search on intelligencer.today. It was published early July. Can also go to patriot.online. That's not .net or .com. It's www.patriot.online or patriot.online by itself. And scroll down. We have a number of different documents there, court cases, including this article. They'll be able to download it. So those are the places they can go. And they can also help support us with donations. There's a button there. And I have to say that we've given the last full measure here, and we could use some support.
Oh, this is critical. It's like the Death Star plans, and now we've got to get them out to the X-Wings and politically destroy it in a nonviolent way. But I'm going to post it on X during the break. The council who is running the United States of America by the Intelligencer.today. We're going to go to break here in about 2.5 minutes. But Greg Stenstrom, I wanted you to just make some comments on what we've been talking about here.
Well, it's a genuine pleasure to listen to the fluidity of Colonel Schindler and his command of the topics and the ability to reach back into the dates and times and give the academic, truly the academic dichotomy of what we're facing here. But I noticed he mentioned one thing and that was most important is leaders have one primary job, and that is to give other people courage. More so than any one thing, it's to give other people courage. And what the council most fears is President Trump, is because not only does he know who they are, he now has a much better understanding of who they are, and he gives other people courage. Timothy and myself coming on the show here today, I hope we give other people courage to do the same. We have hundreds of whistleblowers, hundreds of our peers, classmates, people who are ready to speak up, but they need to have a person they can speak up to. The one thing I'd like to go before we only have a minute for the break, and I'd like to come back. I really wanted to focus on the propaganda arm, because that propaganda arm is what has quashed honest journalism, and it's also quashed good people. And I want to focus on the next segment, if we could, and we only have a short time, is on Norm Eisen and the propaganda arm and what has occurred over the last 10 years that is allowing them to shape our elections and the mindset of the of our republic and what to expect in the election, and by educating people, giving them the power to resist and recognize.
That's right. Greg Stenstrom, stay there. We'll have about 15, 20 minutes in the next hour, but I want to invite you both up. If you can do it on a Saturday or even a weeknight, where we're doing our DNC this week, we can come in here and do like an hour and a half, 2 hours commercial free. We can have all the documents in a row, because exactly, you just hit the top of the pyramid earlier, Colonel, which is key to at the top of the inspector generals. But then they've got their arms and everything in this council through this law, this system passed by the legislature that is gobbling up the entire nation. They have similar programs worldwide. We'll be right back.
COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. If we want to stop this epidemic, we need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin, their body temperature. Like we walked in here, we had to go through a body temperature test. But exactly the same technology can determine what you think about the government. You know, anger is a biological phenomena, just like disease. With this kind of surveillance, I mean, you watch a big president, a big leader, gives a speech on television. The television could be monitoring you and knowing whether you're angry or not, just by analyzing the cues, the biological cues coming from your body. Maybe even right now, the people who are watching us are being watched and analyzed. Are you angry about what you hear? Are you frightened? Are you bored? This is the kind of power that Stalin didn't have. You know, when Stalin gave a speech, everybody, of course, clapped their hands and smiled. Now, how do you know what they really think about Stalin? It's very difficult. You can't have a KGB agent following everybody all the time. Even if you do it, he's just watching your outside behavior. He doesn't really know what's happening in your mind. But in 10 years, the future Stalins of the 21st century, they could be watching the minds, the brains of all the population all the time. And also they will have the computing power to analyze all that.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.